From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got but second. Sporting Chance third. Free Drop Billy in fourth. Linden Citizen fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's Bone Seller, Noble Indy, my boy Jack, for the rail, Noble Indy and Bone Seller, Noble Indy, to win the Louisiana Derby.
Oh, what a wood this is. It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle him, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso Fantastico in the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski.
Good morning, HRN Nation, and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Beast of the Belmont, Anthony Stabile, joined by my tag team partner, Steve Grabowski. We're filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, and the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. I just realized you need a nickname. We're just going to go with the Big Grabowski. A beautiful morning here at the Natty, as it is affectionately known locally. Penn National Racecourse, the home of the Penn Mile, which they'll run tonight. $500,000 on the line, grade two. 8 3-year-old colts and geldings going to go a flat mile on the turf here at Penn National. Big night, 7 stakes in all. We'll have 4 of them for you later here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coverage begins at 6, the Penn Ladies Dash, the Penn Oaks, the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, and the Penn Mile. That's tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM 93. First things first, though, a fun, exciting morning of action from Penn National today, Steve. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to be here. You know, there's just nothing like being trackside in the morning. I mean, this is fantastic. We're going to have an early post time today, 3:45 first post for the locals.
Yes, 3:45 Eastern.
And what a fantastic setting with a beautiful mountainside to the
top Blue
of
Mountains.
The stretch here. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I'll tell you what, the rain has stayed away. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
So far, yeah. We were supposed to have some pretty bad weather here. It's humid. And it was humid yesterday. We were here for Express Bet Radio yesterday afternoon. We hung around for dinner. It was humid here yesterday. When the breeze came through, it was nice. When we first set up this morning, the breeze was here. Man, when the breeze dies down like it is right now, it is pretty hot here. It hasn't stopped a ton of horses from getting out here to get their morning routine in. We've seen quite a few workers this morning as well.
Yeah, it looks like they're skipping along the main track like it's just fine. Of course, they're protecting the turf course. I don't see anybody out there this morning, but, I mean, it looks pristine, and I don't think this place could be any better condition for the big night it's going to host.
Yeah, turf course looks fantastic. Just opened a few weeks back, and, even if a little rain were to fall, it's hot enough where it would evaporate.
Yeah.
It would almost evaporate as soon as it hit the ground. In the mid-70s now, supposed to get to the mid-80s today. Again, a little different scene here tonight. More often than not, first post was around 6 o'clock, sometimes 7. Mm-hmm. So with the special day, the big card, 11 races in all, the ones we'll cover go as 6 to 9. So there's a couple after the big one, after the Penn Mile.
Yeah, I think very smartly positioned, the pick four that they have beginning around 6 o'clock. I mean, I think it gives everybody a good opportunity to settle in for a big night of racing.
We'll have that whole pick four. I think it hit it 2 years ago. I missed it last year. The favorite got beaten the Penn Governor's Cup, and I don't remember exactly how it went down. I think he got put up via DQ, and I needed the horse that was really bothered in third. I don't know. Another bad beat story. What else is new? I get to Penn National twice a year.
Yeah.
I get to Penn National twice a year, and I already have a bad beat story in the place.
Hey, let's
this place has been nice to me, though. I'll tell you what.
Let's not feel too bad for you with the stories of
10 years ago coming back. 10 years ago coming back from Kentucky Derby, 134, and Big Brown stopped here and got all my money back. Christine and I were hanging out down in Hershey. Christine, noticeably missing this morning, did not answer the bell at 6:45. She decided to stay in. The room was about 65 degrees after I woke up in the middle of the night and sneakily, as much as a 400-pounder can sneak, dropped the AC down to 65 degrees. So she's in her cocoon of warmth as we speak.
Anybody who indulged last night in that seafood buffet gets a pass for this moment to relax.
No question.
That knocked us out. It was so good.
No question. Yeah, you and I going to the – it was like our own workout last night, up and down, going to the buffet here at Penn National. Thanks to Eric Johnston, who will be by a little later on for his hospitality last night. Now, a great time here. You know, we talk about this. They know they're a smaller venue, if you will, right? You and I go to Belmont and Aqueduct for the most part of the year, even Saratoga, much bigger than this place in size. But you're right on top of the action here, and I think that's what the folks in the Grandville, Pennsylvania area love the most about this place. This place, we had plenty of people here last night for the Friday card. I'll tell you what, you are going to be stunned, especially now with the first post at 3:45, so they'll be able to come in by the time we get on the air tonight at 6 o'clock. This place will be completely packed.
It'll be packed right again. And it's a fantastic, like you say, it's a fantastic venue. I mean, look right on. I mean, you could reach out and touch a horse on the outer rail. I mean, you are right on top of the action. And the circumference of the track being just a mile, you've got a good view anywhere you are of any point in the track. I mean, it's just a fantastic place to watch a race.
Yeah, the Blue Mountains, the landscape on the far turn to the left of us here this morning, the sun bright in the sky. As the Baron would say, there are some white puffy clouds to the left of us. I guess that would be to the west. That are rolling in a little bit, they would be pleasantly welcomed at this point right now because this thing is right in our face, the sun. I'm not going to complain too much about it for the better part of the last 6 weeks. We haven't seen much of the sun in the Northeast throughout our travels for the Triple Crown. Driving here on Thursday night, late with Christine, plenty of fog. It was like driving to Pimlico. And even earlier this year when I went down to Florida for the Fountain of Youth, there was plenty of fog. The weather in the Northeast has been weird. Finally, a summer-like morning as we welcome June in. Can't believe it's already June, which means 1 week from Justify's attempt to run into the history books.
You know, in a way, I'm going to be kind of sad, you know, win or lose, because there's a one-week expiration date on the Beast, and I don't know what it's going to be like after that. You know, does he turn back to the Big A? You know, I don't know.
That's what happens.
Maybe if Hofberg wins, the Beast hangs around a little bit longer.
No, he goes away. He always goes away. He always goes away. We'll give you a poll question this morning. Next week, of course, I'll be guest hosting Solo Mission next Saturday, as well as the HRN team gets ready for an exciting Belmont Stakes Day. We got you covered next Saturday as well. Action starts at 8 a.m. with the Equine Forum. Then from 2 to 5, Steve and I will be on the undercard. A bunch of great stakes, including the historic and prestigious Run Happy Met Mile. The undercard coverage from 2 to 5 is presented by visitbarbados.org. And then 5 to 7:30, exclusive radio coverage of Belmont Stakes 150 in conjunction with Westwood One and NBC. Mike Penna, Kurt Becker, the entire HRN team on the call. 5 to 7:30. That coverage brought to you by Twin Spires as well as Red Brand Fence. So next week we'll talk Belmont Stakes. This week we talk Penn Mile. Plain and simple, HRN Nation. Who do you think is going to win tonight's Penn Mile right here at Penn National? Post time set for 7:45. A well-balanced field of eight if you were listening to Express Bet Radio yesterday afternoon. Steve and I pretty much made a case for all eight runners in here, and some of them a little longer shots than others, as it is with every horse race, but would not be surprised if 8 o'clock tonight, any one of those 8 3-year-olds are getting their picture taken in the Penn National Winner's Circle.
It can go just about any way. I mean, legitimate cases for 6 of the 8, and the other two, I wouldn't be surprised if they won. So, you know, while I have my opinion and I know who I'm going to be reaching in on, I wouldn't be surprised anyway.
Well, you and I will talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk about Analyze It, who's running in another 3-year-old turf race today over at Belmont Park, the Pennine Ridge. The leader of the division, if you will. I mean, he's a perfect 3 for 3. I think he's one of the most talented 3-year-olds, period, regardless of surface.
You're not the only one who's been saying that. I've heard quite a few people say that they think Analyze It is every bit Justify's equal.
Yeah. We'll talk to Justin Nicholson from AJ Suited. Justin will Justin's part owner, I should say, with everybody else in Hawkish. We'll talk to Justin at the second, at the top of the second hour today. And we got a ton of folks from our host track coming by. Dr. Jerry Pack's going to join the director of racing operations, Eric Johnston, at about 8:30. They're going to swing by. Jenny Tipa and Todd from Tom Mosteler is going to come by, the executive director of the HPPA here. They're going to come by around 9:30. You and I will chew the fat a little bit. But coming up next, to kick off the show, about 14 years ago, there was a little PA bred by the name of Smarty Jones, and he entered the stretch to the roar of 120,000. The Burnstone ran him down in the final 16th of a mile to deny his Triple Crown bid. His trainer, John Service, I know John for a very long time. John has Midnight Poker in one of the undercard races tonight, the Danzig at Penn National. He's a perfect 4-for-4. We'll talk to him about Midnight Poker, and we'll talk to him about one of the most popular horses of my lifetime, Smarty Jones, and that failed bid at the Triple Crown back in 2004. I can't believe it's 14 years ago. We'll get this Equine Forum rolling when we come back. You're listening to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating Grade 1 winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamardal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-588. 5480.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Lionheart turns for home, and undefeated Smarty Jones comes wide off the turn, and these two hook up at the top of the stretch. Lionheart is all heart. Smarty Jones is all out, and those Jones 2, deadlocked at the 8th pole, and Smarty Jones is roused to the lead by journeyman jockey Stuart Elliott, and they have taken the lead away from Lionheart. Farther back, it's Limehouse and Imperialism, and here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slew in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it. Lionhouse was second. Imperialism finished third, and Limehouse was fourth. What a moment this must be for Stuart Elliott, a 39-year-old journeyman. He has just won the race of a lifetime.
Tom Durkin on the call as Smarty Jones, a big, big, big effort back in 2004. You heard Tom on the call. Smarty did a lot of things that, quite frankly, people did not expect him to do. And he came to Belmont Park in June of 2004, looking to become the first undefeated Triple Crown winner since Seattle Slew. It didn't go that well for Smarty that day. Justify. Steve, going to try and do the same thing in just a week. I can't believe we are just a week away from Belmont Stakes 150. And Justify looking to do something that Seattle Slew was the last horse to do 41 years ago. I was 3 months old. That when was, Seattle Slew pulled
Seattle
it off.
Slew was like my first remembrance, you know, of when I was a kid and following. I guess I was seven, you know, and it was he won the Kentucky Derby the day of my first Holy Communion. So we had a big house party and a family pool, and it was just fantastic watching Seattle Slew win. And to think it's been, 41 years, like you say, since then. And Justify, Fast Track, he could really be a freak. I mean, that would be very, very interesting to see him do the same thing that Seattle Slew did.
Well, I'll tell you what. In my lifetime, I don't think there have been too many horses more popular than Smarty Jones. And nice enough to join us this morning on a busy Penn Mile day is his trainer, John Service. Hey, John, Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well. 14 years, John. Can you believe it? It's been 14 years since Smarty Jones.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? Flies by.
You've been pretty busy yourself. We'll get to Smarty in a minute. In fact, one of his sons tonight, Midnight Poker, talk to us a little bit about him. He'll be on the undercard of the Penn Mile here. Race 5 is the Danzig for the PA Breds, much like Daddy was. This gelding's done nothing wrong so far.
You know, he really has been... He's been very professional throughout the whole run so far, and he kind of surprised us. He's not a very big horse. He's not an attractive looking horse. He's very plain. That's why we ran into our tag the first time. He just, you know, he showed a little talent, but not a lot. And he's just gotten better and better with every start.
Yeah, you mentioned running them for a tag first time out. Kind of got away with one that day, huh?
We did. I thought he'd run well there for that kind of money, but I didn't think he'd run as good as he did. I mean, that was a big move on his part.
Yeah, reunited with Kendrick Carmouche. Kendrick's won half of his starts. He won the day of it and a couple back at Parks. And on his paper, he's got some space between his races. Is that by design, or is that just the way the program's kind of lent itself into his three-year-old year?
Well, that's kind of the way the program lent itself. We, that break after his second start, there just weren't many A other thans going, and we decided to just kick him out for a little bit. We sent him out to the farm and gave him a little freshening, and he came back even better.
Hey, John, Steve Grabowski here. You love anytime you see a young undefeated horse, and this one who seems to be progressing quite well. What's the theory about cutting him back now to sprint here after that two-turn, seven-furlong race at Charlestown, rather than looking for something to stretch him out a little bit with that, you know, nice Smarty Jones and Halo's image pedigree, saying that he'd probably take to a longer trip?
Well, the schedule that we had for him included the Danzig at Penn. And quite frankly, the longer races for straight three-year-olds now. They're getting a little tougher. So we thought it might. We thought maybe this spot might be a little easier than it is. It actually came out tougher than we expected. But off of this race, he was going to get a stretch out off of this, and probably some tougher competition also.
All right, 5-2 on the morning line. He's the morning line favorite. You don't ship for no reason here, too. Just a limited number of starters, but a win, a second, and a third from five tries. I'll tell you, when I look at your numbers, you might be the quietest 26% guy in the country.
Well, listen, I'm very fortunate. I mean, I have some great clients, and they put some good horses in my barn, and they give me opportunity to be aggressive when I need to be.
People didn't, you know, you've always been a Mid-Atlantic kind of guy. I know you since I never say since I was little, because I've never been little. So I'll say since I was a lot younger. We go back a long way from our old Philly Park days together with my dad. And Smarty, of course, really thrust you into the spotlight. And it was at a time where a lot of guys were tasting that victory on the grand scale for the first time. Barkley Tagg, you know, much like yourself, Mid-Atlantic guy, came to New York, had Funny Side, and, you know, John Sheriff's followed with Giacomo the next year. Talk to me a little bit about the entire experience with Smarty before we talk about the Belmont. Just, you know, how it changed the server's barn, if you will.
Well, I mean, we had, you know, I guess things really started to change for me when I took on Fox Hill Farm, and I really started to get some better horses in the barn and some graded horses, and I think that's probably what got me Smarty, was the fact that I had some graded, you know, horses in the past that had done well. And then after Smarty, it just, you know, it opened up some more doors and got me an opportunity to have better quality. And as Bob Baffert said, I changed my feeding program. I started feeding better horses, and it certainly helped.
Hey, John. You know, obviously, you knew what you had in Smarty before anybody else knew. You know what he was. I mean, second time out right before Thanksgiving, I'll never forget it, in 2003, when he wins that the nursery.
The Pennsylvania nursery.
And you have a Pennsylvania bred running a triple digit buyer at 7/8. I mean, tell me what was it like during that holiday season, waiting to stretch him out? I know, I think he ran third time out in the Count Fleet, where he won at odds on, first time going two turns. But what did it feel sitting through that season, waiting for him to turn to be a 3-year old and knowing what you had in the barn?
Well, when he broke his maiden, you know, he did it right. I wouldn't say he was impressive, but he did it. He did it the right way. And then when we wheeled him back in the nursery, you know, he drew the one hole in a full field, and Stu had to hustle him a little bit out of there just to protect his position, because it was such a big field. And he ran lights out. I mean, he ran so fast, and he just kept going. And you know, after that race, I looked at the Mr. and Mrs. Chapman, and I said, you know, we need to talk about what we're going to do with this horse. I mean, I think we got some bigger plans down the road. And the plan was is to keep him up here until after the first of the year, try him in the Count Fleet, because we weren't sure how fast or how far he would go, because he was so quick, he was so fast, and he's got, you know, he had that sprinter pedigree on the bottom. So we waited and ran him in the Count Fleet, and he ran awesome, and then that's when we decided to take him to Oakmont.
Talking with John Service. He has Midnight Poker in the Danzig tonight here at Penn National on Penn Mile night. And, of course, reminiscing now about the one and only Smarty Jones. All right, so you get to the Kentucky Derby. You go off the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. Back then, it wasn't like it was now. That was taboo. You didn't want to be the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, he goes through the Derby, a sensational Preakness. And you're looking to break a 26-year drought. And obviously, Smarty did not break the 26-year drought. Talk to us a little bit about Belmont Week and what it was like in every aspect, every sense of the word, leading up to that Belmont Stakes in 2004.
Well, you know, it was crazy, because throughout the whole run, I really never felt any pressure at all. I really didn't. I mean, I just, you know, my horse was doing good. He was training good. And after the Preakness, I started to see some little subtle signs here and there that, that maybe he was starting to tail off a little bit. I knew his Preakness race was huge, and I was worried about him bouncing going to the Belmont. And, you know, I just didn't feel as confident going to the Belmont as I did the Preakness or the Derby.
When I'm just going to put it to you plain and simple. Would you? Is there anything you'd have done differently? Do you think you could have done anything differently in the Belmont Stakes?
No. I mean, he ran well. You know, he got hooked up in a pretty wicked middle half mile there, and you know, it took its toll. It took its toll on him late.
Yeah, that was, I remember being at Belmont Park that day, and we've been talking about this, of course. You know, whenever there's a Triple Crown on the line, Smarty comes up a lot. I think it's the biggest upset in the history of the Belmont Stakes. I really do. And I remember watching the race with Ron Turcotte, and Ron was yelling and screaming for Stewie. And I cannot remember Belmont Park going from such a fevered pitch to just flat.
That's exactly what it was like. I was in the third floor clubhouse, and I don't think anybody could believe that he lost. I mean, it was just
It went from
everybody was just so deflated.
Hear yourself talk to absolute silence.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I got to tell you, not because we go back a long way, but that you handled it with the utmost professionalism and grace. I remember you coming back to Aqueduct. I think it was for the 04 Remsen with Rockport Harbor, if I'm not mistaken. And you took about an 8-minute barrage of Smarty Jones questions about 6 months later, and he answered them like they were asking him what flavor ice cream he wanted. And I remember saying to myself, that's John Service for you. And, you know, you're one of the few that really haven't... you really haven't caught that Derby fever. Diamond King is your first Preakness runner back. How did he come out of the Preakness?
He came out of it pretty good. I mean, it was pretty ambitious to run in there. I think we'd have been very salty in the Peter Pan. But, you know, I mean, that's you know, when it comes to the Triple Crown races, I understand owners want to run there, and that's what they wanted to do, so that's what we did. And but he came out of it good, and you'll probably see him in either the Ohio Derby or the Indiana Derby, one of those two. But yeah, he's doing good. And you know what? As far as with the media and the barrage of questions and stuff like that, yeah, this business has been so good to me. You know, during that whole Smarty run, I just, you know, I told my wife this. I said, you know, I just feel like I want to give something back. So, you know, if we could fit in time to answer questions, we'll answer questions. I don't have a problem with that.
No, you answered every one of them. You were great. I'm going to ask you one more question before we let you get back to training. Is Justified a 13th Triple Crown winner come next Saturday night?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep. Not only do I think he'll win, I think he'll be impressive, and I think Hofberg will run second.
That's who I like. I like Hofberg.
But I just seeing where he was going into the Preakness and still winning and then seeing how he is now, I mean, he's, you know, plus that was a big race in the Derby. He bounced a little bit in the Preakness, and you know as well as I do, those horses come off that bounce. You give them 3 weeks, man, they're sitting on go. He's probably sitting on a big race.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things. A lot of people, including myself, haven't expected him to. I guess one more time next Saturday wouldn't be that much of a shock. John, great as always. Thanks for some time this morning. Good luck tonight with Midnight Poker, a son of the one and only Smarty Jones. He's the 5-2 morning line favorite in the Danzig here at Penn National on Penn Mile Undercard. We'll talk to you soon, John. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. John Service. Just 1 minute more. Smarty Jones has to hold that lead for 1 minute more. That's the greatest Tom Durkin call. It might be the greatest call, period, ever. That's the greatest Tom Durkin call, in my opinion, in the history of horse racing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was just a fantastic moment, and it really turned out to be such a shame because I think Smarty Jones was worthy of being a Triple Crown winner.
A length away from becoming an absolute legend in the sport of kings. Speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
On Saturday, July 16, 1965, nearly 60,000 racing fans gathered at Hollywood Park for the running of the Gold Cup over 10 furlongs on a superbly conditioned racing strip under a brilliant sun and a robin's egg blue sky. Most had come out to see if Native Diver, the six-year-old homebred, would already become a local folk hero, could win yet another big one. In his two previous starts, a Native Diver had beaten Viking Spirit by a neck at level weights and world record equaling time of 120 flat for 7 furlongs in the Los Angeles Handicap, and had trounced a strong field in a 9-furlong American Handicap after being rested for 6 weeks. Swaps, the legendary Ellsworth hero, had been considered the best homegrown up until now, but Native Diver was pressing that reputation in no uncertain terms. He had had 21 stakes wins all in California and had earned over $400,000. In the field of challengers in this Gold Cup were the likes of Tronado, Meadowbrook Farm's solid performer, Ramont from the Foxcatcher Farm, and Ralph Lowe's Gogger. Native Diver was the high weight, packing an impost of 124, including regular rider Jerry Lambert. As the gate sprung open at the head of the stretch, Lambert gunned a Native Driver to the front with a terrific burst of speed, and by the time they came by the stands for the first time, Native Diver was 6 in front on the way to clocking a 22-1 first quarter. He continued setting all the fractions on an easy lead through the clubhouse turn and posted a fairly swift 44-2 for the first half. As the field straightened out for the long run down the backside, Lambert gave him a little bit of a breather, and two horses, Romant and Tronado, closed some ground until they were within 2.5 lengths of the leader. Native Diver had that margin at the three quarters, which had been turning a very quick 108-4. He increased his lead as they went on down around the turn and was still 4 in front as they swung to the top of the stretch. The mile had gone in 134-1. Gogger had been rolling from far back and was within striking distance with 2 furlongs to the wire. Native Diver had enough left to run the final quarter in 25 flat and increased his margin slightly to wind up a clear and decisive 5-length winner. The final time for the mile and a quarter was 2:01, which equaled the legendary Kayak the Second's mark. Owner L. K. Shapiro was absolutely thrilled with the win, because it was the first time one of his horses had won a $100,000 race, the first time he'd won at 10 furlongs, and the first time he'd won an American Classic race at that distance with top weight. To add to the luster of this outstanding thoroughbred, he came back to win the Gold Cup again the very next year, while packing 126 pounds an even faster time, 2:00. The piece de resistance and the crowning glory was a third straight win in the Gold Cup, at the age of 8, in a phenomenal time of 158-4. With the latter score, Native Diver reached the hallowed plateau of being a million-dollar earner on the racetrack. You see, my friends, like fine wines, this extraordinarily fine Californian, Native Diver, had become better with age.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220
minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast? fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
The fifth running of the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. Featuring many of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country on an afternoon that includes an all-stakes, all-turf late pick four and a special post time of 3:45 p.m. Eastern. Nominations close Wednesday, May 23rd. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate today. It's the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile, Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Adina Spring Stallion, Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Greatest Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Outside now, and Bridal Daddy has moved up to claim third. Silent Waters is fourth. Next in line, Oscar-nominated Aero Force and Beach Patrol are still at the back here as they straighten for the drive. And Catch a Glimpse gets away now, opens up by three on her male rivals. It's still Giant Run second. Inside Silent Waters, belatedly Aero Force, but Catch a Glimpse, this filly is this good. Catch a Glimpse to win the Penn Mile. Aero Force was second. Looks like it was Giant Run third with Silent Waters fourth.
The filly beat the boys in the 2016 renewal of the Penn Mile. Catch a Glimpse for Mark Cassie. Took him flag falter, that's all. Just about 2 years ago here in Grantville, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Speaking of Woodbine, catch all the Thoroughbred Stakes racing action on June 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as Woodbine kicks off the road to the Queen's Plate. Headlining next Saturday's 10-race day feature is the $500,000 Woodbine Oaks presented by Budweiser and the plate trial bout with a guaranteed purse of $125,000. 2018 marks another highly anticipated season for Woodbine Racetrack. The highlight of the meet is the 159th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing. It's slated for Saturday, June 30th, to be followed by the September 15th Rico Woodbine Mile and the October 13th Patterson Canadian International. Woodbine is making a lot of noise north of the border with quality racing, a stakes-laden schedule, an arsenal of wagers, bigger and better guaranteed pools, and so much more. For more information, visit our new website at woodbine.com. Follow them at WoodbineTB on Twitter and use the official race day hashtag, #BetWoodbineTB. That's next Saturday. This Saturday, all eyes later on today and this evening will be right here at Penn National for the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. And nice enough to join us now, Dr. Jerry Pack and Eric Johnston, the Director of Racing Operations here at Penn National. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate you having us on.
Always. Thanks for having us. One of my favorite weekends of the year, not because I get to bring Christine up and we get to go eat a lot of chocolate throughout the we were just talking about this, Eric. We talk more about food than the horses when you come on. not because we get to eat a ton of chocolate. This is one of my favorite racetracks, one of my favorite days/nights. I like the way you guys changed the 3:45 to make the experience a little longer and a little more pleasurable. another year of expansion, a fantastic card in store for tonight.
This is without a doubt the best card we've ever put together for it. I mean, it's loaded from top to bottom. There's nice field sizes. The Pennsylvania Breds came together and really supported the program this year. The Penn Mile's an outstanding race. I think you got to go really deep into that bunch of horses. I mean, it's only 8 betting interest in there, but you got to go deep if you're going to cover it on your multi-leg races, and it's just going to be a lot of fun and a great betting opportunity today.
Yeah, All Stakes Pick 4 starts in race 6 when we go on the air tonight at 6 o'clock with the Penn Ladies Dash, one of the newest additions to the Penn Mile night.
Yeah, we saw an opportunity. You know, we had the Mountain View was the fourth leg of that All Stakes Picks Four for the last several years. And, you know, the competition for those older horses keeps getting tougher and tougher. You're coming off the Pimlico Special 2 weeks in advance, and then you have the Stephen Foster coming in.
Met Mile next week.
Met Mile, Stephen Foster, all that stuff. So trying to get that race filled just became tougher and tougher. So we stepped back and took a look at the schedule. And through the negotiations with the Match Series guys, you know, we saw the hole there for the fillies and mares on the turf, and we seized it, and, you know, here it is. We got a 12-horse field going out there tonight in the ladies.
And, boy, these horsemen and horsewomen, they love their turf sprints. You hang up a nice number like 100K, and they're going to come in droves like they did, like you said, a full field of 12 tonight.
Absolutely. And same thing back over in the Governor's Cup, you know, another full field of 12. 48th running.
Wow.
Yeah, which is – I'm not real sure how that – came about, because we've only been here for 45 years. We're actually in our 46th season. I need to do some research.
It was
on
somewhere
history.
Else. I don't remember. I remember you saying that to me 2 years ago,
yeah,
when I was here with Mike, and I did the research, and my memory shot. I don't remember where it was run, but it was run somewhere else.
Yeah, I think it may have been down at the old Liberty Bell.
That's what I think it was.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're excited to have it. You know, we're looking for new records today between handle and attendance. We're going to have some big screen TVs out here so that you get a great view of the races all day long. A lot of food opportunities out here on the apron. We have a lot of food opportunities upstairs. So come on out and enjoy the day. Weather is Chamber of Commerce weather right now. The sun
right
is out.
Is.
You know, I've been holding my breath for 2 days now. You know, we've been threatening with heavy thunderstorms and showers and everything else. We have not had a lick of rain since Tuesday here. Fast and firm tonight.
We were talking about this yesterday when I first got here and was setting up in the morning. This course does pretty well holding the rain, too. So even if we get some thunderstorms in today, should be in fine shape.
Yeah, the course is really, really in good shape.
Looks
today.
Great.
I walked it yesterday, and it's impressive. We only run 4 races across it so far this season.
Okay.
So it is virgin out there at the zero position. And just, it was solid yesterday. There was no doubt about it. It is a firm course at this time. And we went a couple years ago. We invested in a process that's used on a lot of golf courses and NFL football fields and baseball stadiums around the country called Dryject. And those guys came out and they ran their equipment across the turf course and put a silica sand down inside. They shoot it into holes, blasted
into
through water. And it's made a big improvement on the course. It drains very nicely. It takes a bunch of rain before we have to come off. Hopefully we don't have another summer like we had last year. We lost more races in the month of July than we ran on the turf, but we're hoping that the weather gods cooperate with us, especially today and then the rest of the summer as well.
Very similar to what they do on like you said, golf courses on the greens.
Yep.
You see the holes and the aeration, and they just shoot the
Yes, exactly.
The course looks sensational. You mentioned the PA Bred program. Three stakes on the card for the Pennsylvania Breds, and like you said, that they came out in droves as well.
Yeah, they're nice fields there, and one of the PA Breds, the Lyford Stakes, on the turf, so that'll give you the first taste of what's going on out there in that course. Hopefully you can make some heads or tails out of how they run in there as to whether you're going to play the speed or look at the something coming off the pace. 5/8 around here on the turf is always a lot of fun because you see more closers win the 5/8. I don't understand how that happens.
The only place on earth.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, looking for a great day.
Dr. Jerry, how we doing?
Very good. Good to have you back visiting with us
good,
this year.
Good to be back. Always good to be seen. Like, well, that's what they say, right? It's always good to be seen. Always good to see you. One of my favorite visits of the year. Let's hope you have a quiet night tonight.
Absolutely. Our maintenance crew has done an outstanding job with our tracks this year. As Eric said, our turf is great. I think we've actually had 46 starters is all we've had this year on the
turf.
That's
great.
So it looks great.
In 4 races, though, that's pretty impressive. That's you're averaging 11.5 starters, 11.5 runners per race.
Absolutely. As Eric said, last year, I think normally we'll average about 1,200 starters on our turf. Last year we had 400, as Eric alluded to. The rain last year just absolutely killed us.
Yeah, when you guys didn't seal the main track yesterday, I told Steve, I said, I think we're going to be okay today. I said, because nobody has better weather. And I know this from the time I'm 5 years old, because whenever we needed to know if I was going to have a Little League game at night, my old man called maintenance at NYRA. And I said, just find out if they're what they're doing over there. They have the best weather. They have Doppler before they had Doppler. And I tell people, I got the best weather. My sophomore, when we were playing softball in the fall, I was like telling my buddies, was like, we're raining out tonight. They just sealed the track, and they're doing what they can do. They know better than anybody, Al Roker, whoever. Bring whoever you want. People at the racetrack know the weather better than any meteorologist on the planet. Main track looks great. Turf course looks sensational. Speaking of the devil, and up he appears. Here come the tractors and the harrows. This is training. Is this the maintenance break?
This is the maintenance break.
Okay.
Yep.
What time do you guys train until?
We'll train until 11 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's the difference. When you have the night card, you have the 345 card, it's a lot different. You get to expand the training hours as well. A lot of horses taking advantage of it the last couple of mornings. I know it came in towards the tail end of training yesterday, but this morning a slew of horses have come over that track, and everybody looks to be going over it well. It looks, from the races I watched last night, seems to be a pretty fair track, no real bias. I think we're in store for a real, real fun night of racing tonight.
Absolutely. Invite everybody out. We also have a little program going on this morning called Sunrise, Saturday Sunrise.
Is that like your breakfast program?
That's our breakfast program. Come on out. If you're in the area, stop by, have a sandwich. We have some trainers here and some horses.
Sandwich?
A sandwich.
Always go back
to
the food with
us.
I host breakfast at Belmont.
Oh, cool.
So we have a similar program, and yeah, quite a few folks out this morning. And I was telling Steve, because Steve's never come out with us, we're always afraid if they're going to let him back into New York or not. He really does, you know, crossing state lines. The crowd tonight, rabid's normally not a good word, but this will be a rabid crowd. Your folks come out in the thousands for Penn Mile Night.
Absolutely. This is, you know, somebody on one of the local news stations called it the Kentucky Derby of the Susquehanna Valley. And, you know, it's a great name for it. You know, the Pennsylvania Derby of the Susquehanna Valley. We can't fringe on Park's little trademark there, so we got to give them their recognition. But, you know, you got the three-year-olds, you have them on the turf. The public loves it. You know, a special post time certainly helps out bringing that crowd out, and there's just so much to do tonight.
What's new and exciting, Dr. Jerry?
Not a whole lot. As you're aware, we're trying to get everybody on board with the new guidelines for medications and the banned substances, and that's going pretty good. A good program. You know, it's unfortunate that a lot of people think that's a common thing in the thoroughbred racing industry, and it's not. If you look at the numbers of positive tests we have over the years, they're minute to the number of starts.
It's been quiet up here, thank Knockwood.
But it's coming together real well. We're having a regulatory veterinary meeting in Lexington connected to the welfare and safety meeting for just the regulatory veterinarians and what we should all be doing and get everybody on a uniform guides when you're looking pre-race at these horses.
Yeah, so, you know, when you rally the fans and the fans have their rally cry, that's all they're looking for is an even playing field, and you guys do a fantastic job up here now.
I will say the Pennsylvania Racing Commission has really done an outstanding job in updating the lab, giving them the money they need to acquire the equipment they need to actually test for the drugs.
Yeah, expanding, updating, Eric, from 3 to 4, now 4 to 7 stakes. Does the expansion of Penn Mile Night ever end?
You know, there's always that possibility. You got a guest on later, I understand, Todd Mosler from the HBPA. We will certainly be talking about that. Maybe it grows a little bit. One of the things that we're looking at possibly for next year is doing some kind of $1 million pick 10 on Derby Day. So
wow.
Come out, pick the Derby winner, and then after that, if you can pick the Derby winner, you qualify to go back in to pick the rest of the races on the Penn National card and try and win $1 million. I don't know. Very premature to start talking about it, but we are having
Kentucky Derby winner?
Kentucky Derby winner, yeah. So.
And then you get to come back Penn Mile Night.
Sure.
Wow.
If you could pick one out of 20, you deserve a shot at $1 million, right?
Well, it's not that hard anymore. You just pick the favorite.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Six in a row.
Yeah.
Six favorites in a row.
Is there going to be a Triple Crown winner?
Well, I was just about, you know what? Everybody knows I think the answer is no. But when I went upstairs to Skybox, and back to the food again, one of, were you, So you're a Southern guy, right? You're a Texas guy?
Well, I spent 20 years down in Texas. I'm actually right here in the Grantville area.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Did you ever go to the Currier, and maybe you too, Doc, the Currier and Ives room at Old Garden State?
No.
I made it once, yeah.
That was the best racetrack food until I got the Skybox.
I'm telling you what, Chef Mario here does an incredible job.
That place is no joke.
With him. Did you try the burger? I bet I was going to tout you on the burger.
I'm 11% burger. All of right. course I tried
right.
the
we
burger.
We got Burger of the Month around here. We've been doing this for the last 5 months. It continues all year long. It's $15 for this burger. It'll feed a family
of four.
I'm
not worried about it. I'm excited.
Well, I'm telling you, it'll feed a family of four. So when you get up there, if you get up there
so
tonight.
So I need two of them? What is the Burger of the Month?
Last month it was based on a Kentucky Hot Brown. I don't know what it is. I mean, we're just the second day of the month. I'm not sure what this month's is. But everything they've done, we've had one back in March that was based around St. Patrick's Day. It had some corned beef on it. February was a Blue Hawaiian burger with some pineapple on it. I've tried each one each month so far. Like you, I could probably do two of them. But, you know, they've just been fantastic.
My two must hits when I come to Grantville, when I come to Penn National, Skybox and the Bears Den at Hershey.
Oh, yeah.
Got to go to the Bears Den. Love the Bears Den. So.
Good.
Yeah. I do not think there will be a Triple Crown winner. I know you guys will be packed. I was talking to a young man up at Skybox last night getting the reservations set for tonight, and he told me you guys were swamped out Derby night, swamped out Preakness night.
Yeah.
Going to have a huge crowd tonight, of course. Looking forward to next week. Who are you liking in Belmont?
I don't know who I like, but I can tell you who I don't like. I don't think Justify. I think there's going to be too many guns shooting at him. You know, and obviously, to become a Triple Crown winner, you got to be the elite of the elite, and I just don't know that that horse is there. You know, I don't want to say that I'm wishing bad luck on on the team and everything, and, you know, would love to see another Triple Crown winner. It's, you know, certainly get a lot of play off of that from year to year, but I just don't know that it's there from the betting angle.
Doc?
I agree with Eric pretty much. This is an outstanding horse, but after the run at Pimlico, I just don't know that he can go a mile and a half.
That's my biggest problem with him.
You know, and they're certainly going to shoot some rabbits out there at him, I would guess. And will the horse rate? Well, nobody really knows for sure yet.
Yeah.
So I would love to see him do it, but I have my doubts.
8 of the 12 went gate to wire. American Pharoah was the only one to win the Triple Crown without having a race at Belmont Park prior in his career.
Wow.
So, I mean, he did it with Bob. Bob Baffert's done it, but... And this horse has already broken a ton of molds. So.
Exactly. And, you know, Bill Mott, from what I understand, he's almost, you know, put an NFL-type bounty out on him saying that he's going to run it down. So it's kind of interesting.
I'm excited enough about Bettenhoffberg. I didn't need Bill to start smack talking last week. My mind's going 100 miles an hour. Guys, fantastic job as always. Doc, again, safe night tonight. Let's hope you're not too busy at all and you can enjoy all the racing action.
Absolutely. And as we said, pleasure to have you here. Always have a great time when you come visit with us.
We appreciate it. Eric, fantastic job. This card is second to none tonight. 3:45 start time. We go on the air at 6, Sirius XM 93, horseracingradio.net, Penn Ladies Dash, Penn Oaks, Pennsylvania Governor's Cup in the Grade 2, $500,000, Penn Mile 8. Colton Gelding's going to go 8 panels here on the pristine turf in Grantville at Penn National. Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Nicholson going to join us to kick off hour number 2 of the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, your home for Justify's run at history in the Belmont Stakes next Saturday.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
It is all Monoboy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Performance.
Midnight Bizu is third on the far outside. It's Wonder Gadot, and on the inside, Monoboy Girl. It's down to these two, and it's going to be Monoboy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainesway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
As a partner in a thoroughbred, The horse is yours every day, not just race day. Bergen Stables understands. When you join their New York bred partnerships, you not only get the thrill of competition, but you get quality time with your horse and a meaningful voice in decision making. To get involved, visit BergenStables.com. Any partnership can put you close to the action. Bergen Stables brings you close to the horse.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
And they're into the stretch, and Hawkish has got plenty of room now to the outside of Morrison and just breezes on by. Hawkish to the front under Errant Ortiz Jr., leaving Morrison and the others behind. Factor This is third. War Chest is fourth. They're coming to the line, and Hawkish is long gone. Hawkish by five or six. Morrison second. War Chest and Ride to the Sunset.
Hawkish is going to scratch out of the Pennine Ridge at Belmont Farm this afternoon to run right here tonight at Penn National Racecourse in the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Anthony Stabile, otherwise known as the Beast of the Belmont. Steve Grabowski, otherwise known as the Big Grabowski.
Oh, I'm co-hosting
here
today?
Yeah, you're here. You're here. We have an answer to our poll question. Our buddy Bill, at DBill, said, may need a therapist if Mother Nature hits Grantville turf. By hard to blame Maraud. All players to fill out final leg of pick four. So Bill's a little all over the place. D. Bill's a little all over the place right now. I think he's waiting to see what Mother Nature has in store for us. Like Eric Johnson just said, so far she's been kind.
A lot better than we expected.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that
a lot better than we expected. In fact, the sun's even got a little cloud cover right now, and it's literally dropped 15 degrees since the sun's went in.
I mean, it's been a nonstop breeze. That's absolutely wonderful for a fat man, so I'm enjoying the weather today.
Yeah, that makes two of us. All eight of those horses tonight, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of some handicapping a little later on when we have a little time to breathe here as the guests keep on coming. But a fantastic card. And, you know, I think Bill, at DBill on Twitter, has it right. He's looking to hit the all ball because it could very well be that kind of race this year. You know, on the heels of Catch a Glimpse, who was a Breeders' Cup winner, and Frost Morn, who was already a stakes winner when he won the Penn Mile last year. There's some stakes winners in here, but there are some up-and-coming horses as well.
Yeah, you know, just looking at, for a matter of argument, take a look at the longest price on the board, Smart Remark. He's 12-1. I mean, his lone turf race.
He's 3-4.
Beaten by Jadu.
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. He won once, and he got beat by Jadu.
So tell me, would you be surprised?
He's going to Royal Ascot, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly. Jadu. And he's 12-1 on the line. I mean, would you be surprised if he won? How could
no.
you? You know, it's just a good race. Lots of ways to go. I mean, you can have your staunch opinions, but I wouldn't be surprised by any of them.
So far this morning, thanks to Dr. Jerry Pack, Eric Johnston, as well as John Service. Like all of our guests, they will all get some Embrace the Race swag. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, hour one is in the books. Hour two comes up next. Before we get to hour number two, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hofburg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Good Magic has been defeated, then Machismo. Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under Irad Ortiz Jr.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Hour number two getting underway. On the beach at Belmont, Anthony Stabile joined by the Big Grabowski, Steve Grabowski. We're filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld. We are live at Penn National Racecourse in Grantville, Pennsylvania, getting ready for the sixth running of the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Comes your way tonight, 7:45 Eastern is post time. We'll have the coverage live for you beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern time. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93. Or, of course, right here on your home for all of racing's biggest days at horseracingradio.net. A field of eight set to go to post. And the number six, Hawkish, you heard him win that entry-level allowance optional claimer back in April at the Big A. He was cross-entered in the Pennine Ridge at Belmont against the perfect 3-for-3. Analyze it. He's going to come out of that race to come here to Grantville to run tonight in the Penn Mile. And right now we have one of his owners, Justin Nicholson, on the line. Hey, Justin, it's Anthony and Steve here on the Equine Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. How's it going?
All right. Doing well. You got yourself a nice little, I think you were telling me, just about a 90-minute ride from the homestead to come to the Natty tonight?
Yeah, it's not too bad. We've actually we ran one kind of stake there a couple of years ago, and had a nice, you know, nice evening out, and sat in the restaurant, had a great night, and horse ran well and ran second. So hopefully we'll have a nice overall evening again today.
Do we know the backstory to AJ Suited Racing?
The name itself.
Yes, sir.
Or the, yeah.
The name.
It's actually, it's myself and a good friend of mine going back to, kindergarten or first grade or whatever it is, and our families. And he and I, we started the stable in about 08, 09, and we had just, for many years we were kind of in the online poker stuff. And we'd played, I played mostly Omaha, but we both played the World Series of Poker for a couple, satellite events and that kind of stuff. So we were very, very into the poker scene at the time. And it was our first initials, Alan and Justin. So that became the Ace and Jack. And so AJ Suited kind of came together that way.
Well, there we go. I never knew that story. I felt it was a poker story, but I never knew that story. That's a great story.
Yeah, and then you'll see the silks, for those who haven't seen it, it's the Ace and Jack of Spades. So we went with it all the way. It's on the silks every time.
Justin, Steve Grabowski, I like that. That's something that suits Anthony very well with his cards and his friends. He talks about all the time playing poker and his buddies who he's known since kindergarten. So it hits very home with
And
him.
They're my initials.
Yeah, no, well, okay, so we've got you covered all kinds of ways.
Yeah, I'm completely covered. So you guys bred Hawkish, and he has been very, very good. I don't know how, and I say we because I was on board first time out. Over $20 mutual first time out. Funny Duck was dead heated for second that day, of course, came back to win the Pat Day Mile. Talk about his debut, Justin. He was real good down at Gulfstream that day in January.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, well, I'm glad you were on him because I wasn't putting anybody on him. And I say that not because I didn't think he was talented. I think one of the things at every opportunity, Jim Toner, you know, who trains him, kept saying to me, "Look, this is a nice horse. This is a nice horse." The reason it was January of his 3-year-old year that he debuted is for one, I think he had a splint or something mid 2-year-old, just had a couple little things, but he was also, you know, really coltish and immature. And that's why we gelded him before he first ran, and I have no idea if he'd even have gotten to this point without it. So I think my concern was just mentally, was he going to be there yet to be able to win a race first time out, which doesn't happen, you know, that often. Jim's barn, I mean, he improves horses as they go. So I think we were, as you said, I think we were about 9-10 to 1 that first day, and talking to friends about it, I was like, look, I think the horse has the talent to hit the board. I said, my understanding and from what I've seen of him, I don't know if mentally he's ready yet to win a race at that level. And frankly, I mean, you know, you were on him that day and you watched him. I mean, he was running side to side as much as straight ahead the last 16. So he definitely was immature talent at that point. And I think it started to come together a little bit since then, as far as his head's concerned, and we're happy with that.
Well, it's funny you brought up his mental capacity, Justin, because in his next start, nearly 2 months later in that Palm Beach, you guys threw him into the deep end rather quickly. He was running against horses that had a little more seasoning, like Maraud and Therapist, and he was a little closer that day. Was that by design, or did Hawkish take matters into his own hands, figuratively speaking?
I think it was just, I mean, for one, it was a pretty slow pace. So I think that was part of it. I do think, you know, with a little more racing experience, he was more inclined to be in the mix. But I mean, in the end, we still, you know, felt like the way the run of the race was, we probably ended up, you know, further back than what we wanted to kind of give him a shot. But we didn't necessarily expect it to be as slow a run race as it was. And obviously, the horses in front of him, when it came time to do the real running, they didn't stop any, and he made the big middle move to have any chance to try to get into contention, and then just kind of tired late. But as you said, I mean, you're taking a big step up in class, and unless you're an absolute freak, it's very hard to go from a maiden to a grade three, kind of go against the run of the race and beat proven horses. And I think that ultimately was what he was asked, and for him to come up 2 or 3 lengths short, we were not overly disappointed in defeat that day, but we knew we needed to get him back to his friends in terms of company and get him a little more confident. And that was kind of the setup for the one afterwards.
You know, Justin, one of the things that you mentioned was having this horse with Jimmy Toner. And I happen to believe, and I have for many years, that Jimmy Toner is one of the best trainers out there with turf horses and getting them to develop with each race. And I don't think that could have been any more true than what he showed in the N1X last time. I mean, he just exploded. I mean, I know he was a very short price on the board. He was expected to run well, but I don't think anybody expected him to win that easily and to put up that kind of number, which actually points him out as the highest top figure in the race here, this $500,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile that we'll be covering tonight. I mean, he looks to be a prime contender right in the thick of this. I mean, was this the intention all along?
I mean, I think what we got out of that race was kind of what the messaging was going into the Palm Beach too, which is we just don't know where the ceiling is, you know, on this horse is, which is it's a good place to be. It's also a bit of a scary place to be because you really don't know what you have at this point. He's beaten, you know, he's won the 2 races against lesser conditions and obviously lost in the Grade 3, but we think with excuses. But yeah, no, so we're kind of coming into this spot like I think a lot of people are, watching this horse, trying to figure out exactly how he's going to stack up with really, you know, what's been basically the best of the division. We've, you know, there's a there's a monster obviously in New York and analyze it, but it seems like most of the rest of the kind of upper part of the division is going to be with us at Penn, so we'll get a good look at it. And I think as far as this race specifically, I think when we crossed the line in April, you know, you can't help yourself after we win an allowance by 4 or 5 lengths, you're immediately thinking of things. I think Jim was in the Pennine Ridge already in his head, and his mindset, which I very much understand, is, look, the Belmont Derby is the race you most want to win. That's where the money is. That's the grade one. And the ideal thing for that is to kind of go, mile to 16th, mile to 8th, mile and a quarter, and just a gradual step up. I think me, a little bit as a handicapper, and also just kind of everybody involved in the horse, we all, we looked at the way both races were coming up, and, we just said, I think a new track record that was like 30 years old, and it had stood for 30 years, an aqueduct at a mile. And I think we're all kind of looking at each other like it's 500,000 for a mile that we've already shown we can handle, or we can step up to run a mile and an eighth against a horse like Analyze It. It's awfully hard to pass up the opportunity to win a race, like what we're running in. Whatever happens, the checks are bigger no matter where you finish, and we know he can handle the distance.
So, provided all goes well tonight, the Belmont Derby is next on the radar.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, look, the race is there for you. If you've got a 3-year-old turf horse that has the class, I think that to me that's where you take the shot. And I'll run against anybody for $1 million if we get a shot at it. So, I think it's just it's the right place to ask the questions. And whatever we find out, we'll be happy to try it. But hopefully that's the next stepping stone we get to take.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We're talking with Justin Nicholson from AJ Suited Racing. They have Hawkish in tonight in partnership with Bob LaPenta. Manny Franco going to ride for the first time. The Ortiz brothers have ridden him in his first 3 starts. Manny climbing aboard tonight. It really has seemed, Justin, in the last 6 months to a year, that Manny has muscled his way into that upper echelon of riders.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I think it's, you'd see him kind of, taking some control over the winters, and then obviously as he's moving to, he's now taking it through the rest of the year, it feels like, and we got a chance to have him work the horse last week, so he got a good feel for him. That was a breeze that was kind of meant to really give him a feel. We worked in company with Manitoulin, who's, a graded winner and a nice horse, and I think they went 5/8 in like a minute flatter. I think Jim caught him at 59 and change and did it the way that we wanted it to happen, and they were heads apart. So I think he's going to be going in with confidence in the horse. And the nice thing is, the way the last race ran, we know he doesn't have to be 10 lengths out the back like he was in the maiden win. He was very tactical last time out. He was, 3 lengths off of 46 and change kind of pace. So we're hopeful we can adapt to whatever we need to do to win the race.
You mentioned Manitoulin. Is he Belmont Stakes Racing Festival bound?
Yeah, as far as I know, that's the plan. I think Jim's been working backwards from the Manhattan, and I think the last race was mainly a prep to get him ready to go the added distance. So I'm sure he'll be ready, and I know that he's been working hard in the morning because we've been seeing some of the breezes with the two of them together. So I'm sure he'll be ready to go.
Well, last year he won the race after the Belmont Stakes. This year he's going to try to win the race before the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, exactly. A little different company, but it was he didn't get a lot of love last year in that race, if I remember. I think he was 10-15-1 and won it, nicely. So hopefully it plays out the same this year.
Yeah, I hit my double with Tapper to him. I can tell you that. Justin, before we let you go, how's your other baby doing, Equestricon?
Everything's good. Everything's good. We're very happy with the momentum. We put a release out this week. I think we've got over 80 organizations already signed on as exhibitors and sponsors and all of that. So, the industry's been very supportive, which makes all the difference. And so we don't feel like we're going it alone here. We've got a lot of support and interest. I think the space and the plans are all coming together as far as the event itself. And I think it's going to be a really good time, and I know that there are some some announcements to come in the next few weeks that, you know, as you can imagine, you don't want to put too many releases out in the middle of Triple Crown season, especially with this Triple Crown on the line. So we'll have a few things to say over the next couple of weeks and hopefully get people even more excited. But it should be a lot of fun. And for those who don't know, it's going to be in Louisville this year for the first time, and it's Breeders' Cup week. It's kicking off the week Monday and Tuesday. I believe it's the 30th. It's in the Kentucky International Convention Center, which is an awesome space downtown, brand new. So we're very excited about it. It should be a good time.
I'm not letting anybody off the hook today. You brought up the Triple Crown. Anybody who comes on this show today is getting asked. 13th Triple Crown winner Saturday night at 7:30 or what?
I have no hesitation. I mean, I would be very surprised if this horse loses. I feel very good about him. I think the Preakness, he lost nothing to me in that defeat after getting, you know, all of Good Magic for a mile and a 16th or so and still hanging on. So I'm ready to see it.
It is amazing how polarizing Justify is, I got to tell you, because you either get people, John Service, we had John on earlier in the show, and he was just like you, absolutely all in, no hesitation, and then we just had Eric and Dr. Jerry on from Penn National, and they were both like me in the no camp. There's nobody in between, though. Nobody thinks this horse is going to lose a head bob, or he's either going to win or he's going to be off the board in the court of public opinion, and you seem to be with the A's.
Well, I'll say if you don't have a strong opinion at this point, you probably haven't been watching it that closely, because this is the kind of horse that makes you have a strong opinion. He's a pretty cool animal to watch, so...
No question about it. Well, best of luck tonight with Hawkish and AJ Suter. You guys coming out? You and Katie coming out?
Oh yeah, we will be there. We don't get them this close to home that often. Usually we're up in New York, and it's a 3 or 3.5 hour trek for us. We'll take the hour and a half to get it. And we look forward to it. We actually have the A half of AJ Suter coming as well, and he's coming with the family, so we'll have a good group out there.
Oh, cool! Stop on by. We're right on the finish line. You can't miss us.
Absolutely, we'll do.
All right, bud. Justin Nicholson from AJ Suited, Equestricon. Thanks for some time this morning. Best of luck tonight. He's got Hawkish, one of 8 Colton Geldings, chasing $500,000 in the Grade 2 Penn Mile. And like all of our guests, Justin will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Should be a fantastic. I'm really, really looking forward to this race tonight.
I mean, it's a great one. It's really going to cap off that pick four, which I hope to dive into with both.
You hope to?
Well,
you're 3-5 to be involved in that pick 3-4 tonight,
five.
My friend.
You might be barred. I'll take that all day long.
You might be barred from. You might be barred from wagering as far as whether or not you're getting involved in the pick four tonight. That all stakes pick four. It just so happens to be our four races that we're covering tonight. We go on the air at 6, Sirius XM 93, HorseRacingRadio.net, Penn Ladies Dash, Penn Oaks, Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, Grade 2, $500,000 Penn Mile, live from the Natty, as it is affectionately known to the locals here in Grantville, Penn National, Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Still training on the main track this morning. Speaking of training, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Gunavera returns to Sano Barn at Gulfstream Park West. Salomon Del Valle's Gunavera returned to trainer Antonio Sano stable at Gulfstream Park West on June 1st in preparation for a return to racing after a break of more than a month. The multiple graded stakes winner and multiple Grade 1 place runner sustained a hoof injury during an 8th place finish in the Grade 1 March 31st Dubai World Cup, which led to his break from training. The foot is healed very good, Sano said. We're not in a hurry with him. 4-year-old son of Dialed In, who has earned over $2.9 million from 16 starts, won 2 graded events at 2, the Grade 2 Saratoga Special, and the $1 million Grade 3 Delta Jackpot Stakes, then was a player on the 2017 Triple Crown Trail. He impressively won the Express Bet Grade 2 Fountain of Youth Stakes at Gulfstream Park, finished 3rd in the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and earned a spot in the Kentucky Derby, where he finished 7th. Gunavera kicked off his 2018 season with a 3rd place finish in the Grade 1 Pegasus World Cup Invitational before he injured his foot in Dubai. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News update. There's one website that's the industry's go-to site for racing, breeding, sales, and news, and that's bloodhorse.com. From breaking news to sire lists, results and videos, leading earners lists, and so much more, you'll find it all over at bloodhorse.com. I don't know this about you, but you look like a Gunavera guy.
I liked Gunavera.
I knew it.
Early in the season last year, and then he killed me in the Travers when he obviously bothered IRAP, and I couldn't get IRAP for second after the objection.
Wow.
But I like Gunavera's late kick.
Yeah.
You know, I like horses who run on.
You like the underdog. Did you like Underdog? Did you like Underdog? Did you like Underdog?
I did not watch Underdog, not when I was a kid, though.
It's a terrible job by you.
Why is that?
Underdog was fun.
What about the Underdog lady on Stern?
No.
No, that wasn't.
Not
that
me.
Doesn't count? All right.
It's not for me. I was just asking you about Underdog. All right, never mind. Let's take a break. When we come back, Steve and I. Going to handicap this card a little bit. Talk about the three-year-old turf picture overall. That monster that Justin Nicholson was talking about. Analyze it. He's in action in the Pennine Ridge at Belmont today. We'll take a look at him, and we'll talk about this fantastic card here at Penn National tonight for the Penn Mile. You're listening to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
The fifth running of the Grade II $500,000 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, featuring many of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country on an afternoon that includes an all-stakes, all-turf, late pick four, and a special post time of 3:45 p.m. Eastern. Nominations close Wednesday, May 23rd. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate today. It's the Grade II $500,000 Penn Mile, Saturday, June 2nd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Here comes Analyze It now to challenge Dragon Drew for the top spot. These two going at it. Admiralty Pier in third. Marat is fourth. Analyze It pokes ahead in front. Final furlong of the Kentucky Utilities Transylvania. Analyze It opening up with every stride. Three, four lengths to the good. Back to Dragon Drew, second. Admiralty Pier, third. Captivating Moon runs late in fourth. Far behind, Analyze It. Jose Ortiz, three wins on the day. 1:45 3/5 seconds.
HRN's own Kurt Becker, the voice of Keeneland. He's the only guy that ever called a race in Keeneland.
Yeah.
He was on the call for Analyze It in the Transylvania.
You've never been to Keeneland.
Nope, going in the fall, I hope.
When I first started going there 15 years ago, so, I mean, it was just the gate would open, it was dead silent.
Think they're ready for the Big A? Because the Big A is back then, it's not the Beast.
I don't know if the Big A is going to be ready for Keeneland.
You get the Beast this morning. I'm Anthony Stabile. Steve Grabowski, we're filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld. We are live at Penn National getting ready for Penn Mile tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. But that breeze wreaks havoc with the mics, and then it dies down, and it's fine. And then, so it's funny though. We're just in this valley because the mountains to the left. And all kidding aside, without getting too earth science on everybody on a Saturday morning, I don't want to start breaking out SAT stuff and start showing off with my St. John's education. I graduated college 20 years ago, bro. You know how crazy that is. Somebody said to me the other day, "The fact that you graduated college is crazy."
That too.
But I think the mountains really just keep the breeze in. I think that's why it stays a little cool. I think that's why it's so hot when it's hot and cool when it's cool.
I think when it blows westerly and hits the mountains and it comes back here, I think that's what we're getting, is that nice mountain effect.
Well, now you're getting directional on me.
That's no good? That's not earth science-y?
It's fine.
All right. I didn't teach that at St. John's, I was a professor there.
Professor of thugonomics?
You were my right-hand man, I heard.
We are at
You would have been a great guest speaker.
I was never asked.
I didn't know you.
I was never asked.
Just talk to you. Think of your friend. Mark Melusis, Eric Donovan, Jan Rushton, Johnny I, Liz Bracken.
You didn't need me. You had it covered, my
Carlos
friend.
Carlos Martin, Mike Chirac. We had a bunch of guys come in and speak. I would have had you.
You were completely covered.
You know what? I would treat everybody to cupcakes downstairs in the Marillac Cafeteria.
That's why you didn't go. Marillac Hall.
Remember Marillac? The terrace. They had just built the terrace when I started there.
The best thing I had about Marillac was eggplant and pepperoni on my pizza. Anyway, up at Woodbine, catch all the Thoroughbred Stakes racing action on June 9th at 1 p.m. as Woodbine kicks off the Road to the Queen's Plate. Headlining next Saturday's 10-race day feature is the $500,000 Woodbine Oaks presented by Budweiser and the Plate Trial with a guaranteed purse of $125,000. 2018 marks another highly anticipated season for Woodbine Racetrack. The highlight of the meet is the 159th running of the Queen's Plate, the longest continuously run stakes race in North America. It's the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing. It's on Saturday, June 30th. More great one action follows with the Rico Woodbine Mile on September 15th and the Patterson Canadian International on October 13th. Woodbine is making a lot of noise north of the border with quality racing, a stakes-leading schedule, an arsenal of wagers, bigger and better guaranteed pools, and so much more. For more information, visit their new website at woodbine.com. Follow them at WoodbineTB on Twitter and use the official race day hashtag BetWoodbineTB. We're not going to bet Woodbine TB tonight. We're going to be right here at Penn National. Earlier in the day, over at Belmont Park, Steve, Analyze It is going to put his perfect 3-for-3 record on the line in the Grade 3 $200,000 Pennine Ridge. Hawkish is going to scratch out of that race to run here tonight. And I got to be honest, I cannot say I blame him. I think Justin Nicholson, Hawkish part owner, brought up a good point. The big money is in that Belmont Derby. There's big money here tonight. And when you're going into preps, you want to run for the money, of course. But if your end game is that Belmont Derby, I think you'll want to wait to take on the big dog until you absolutely have to.
Well, you look at that from a competitive standpoint. I'm going to look at it from a logistical standpoint and say, you know what? If you want to get that mile and a quarter in the Belmont Derby, why are you running for a mile today? You know, the Pennine Ridge at nine panels was a nice logical progression to get you ready if the Belmont Derby is your main goal. But, I mean, I don't think this is a bad way to hedge your bets for a horse who's already proven he's run the top figure in the field at a flat mile. So I can understand you're going for this and in hopes you're going to have a tighter horse for the Belmont Derby, but I think the nine panels would prepare you better for that one.
I don't doubt that. But with a horse like Hawkish, I think you come here for the money, and you have that foundation. You have three races this year. We talked about this yesterday. Analyze It only has one start this year. And Analyze It, I think, needs that nine panels just simply because he doesn't have the foundation a horse like Hawkish or some of the others here in the Penn Mile have tonight. So you got to try and get the nine panels. You thought yesterday, he's like, if you're Analyze It, why aren't you coming for the money? I think that's the only reason. I think the late start to the season, only the one race under his belt, only the three races under his belt is the entirety of his career.
Right,
the reason he needs the nine panels.
I understand it. A mile of 16th and a mile of 8th will set him up for the 10 panels, absolutely. But Hawkish, now you're talking about another mile race. And then a month later, you're going to be shooting back and trying to take on an extra quarter mile. It's not easy. You know,
no, it's not.
Not easy. So, in a way, when I say hedge your bets.
How many races have you won? Because Jimmy Toner's won a lot.
Jimmy Toner's my man. I've come on the air and said that.
One of the best.
A fantastic turf trainer. He gets horses. A race gets a horse ready for another race and another race, and they often take a big step forward. That's what I like about Hawkish.
I am going to side with Jimmy Toner here. Shockingly, I'm going to side with Jimmy Toner here. We're going to talk about the Penn Mile card tonight, obviously, when we get on the air. Give me one tonight that you're really focusing in on the four races we're going to cover. We go on the air at 6. Penn Ladies Dash, the first running, the Penn Oaks, the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, and, of course, the Grade 2 Penn Mile. Give me one.
Well, okay, so without being accused of jumping the gun and going off on tangents, you don't want to go off on all four. You just want me to give you
Real opinion you have. And maybe let's try and avoid a dot if we can.
Honestly.
Because we know how much you love your chalk.
My one real opinion. Chalk? Really? Are we going to go there? My one real opinion.
The coffee's kicking in.
If I... And my lack thereof.
I'm trying to be a little sassy now. The coffee's starting to kick in. I'm not usually up this early.
Of the four we're covering, I really like Therapist in the Penn Mile.
Avoid the dot. 5-2.
Avoid the dot. 5-2. You're just talking about all of Hawkish and what he's got.
And stay off my horses, please.
I'm not betting yours, and I'm not betting Maraud. I like Therapist.
I like Therapist, too.
I love...
You probably listened to the Weekend Stakes preview and took my picks last night.
Oh, my God. He was my.
You've been a fan of this horse since day one.
Please, that's all I want
you
to admit. Yeah,
I
think he's a good one. I like the acceleration that he's shown, especially in the Cutler Bay. The last time we saw him on the Florida Derby undercard, I mean, it's that split second acceleration that separates the good from the great middle distance turfers, and I think he's shown that so far. I think he can be a good one.
Christophe Clement looking for back-to-back Penn Mile wins. He took it down last year with multiple graded stakes winner Frostmourne. He went on to win the Kent last year, and Frostmourne had a nice three-year-old season. No bigger win than the Grade 2 Penn Mile right here at Penn National. We're going to run it for the sixth time tonight. I'll tell you what, for a race that's only 6 years old, Bobby's Kitten, Catch a Glimpse, in the middle of a really good run from the end of her two-year-old year through her three-year-old year. She used the Penn Mile as a springboard to that Belmont Oaks win. She stretched the mile, and I know she stretched a mile and eighth. I got all of that 880 that day. I could not believe she paid 880. She beat a Jimmy Toner filly, in fact. I can't remember the name.
Because of the stretch out, I went against her, and I naturally she held
She was too big a price for
naturally
you.
We're
going to take a break. When we come back, the racing secretary here at Penn National, Jenny Tippa, is going to join us, as well as Todd Mostler, the executive director of the HBBA. All that and more when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, your home for Justify's Run in History in the Belmont Stakes next Saturday.
Castleton Lions is home to Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti.
Justin Philip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs
has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Philip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Fans, the excitement is building as Bob Baffert's undefeated Justify seeks a triple crown sweep in the mile and one-half Belmont a week from today, Saturday, June 9th. Don't miss a moment of the excitement and anticipation. Make your Belmont reservations now at SantaAnita.com. Join us this Saturday for great racing and good times as the Grade 1 $400,000 Beholder Mile and the $200,000 Snow Chief Stakes highlight an outstanding card that'll get underway with first post time at 12:30. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here comes the Lieutenant, and a salute to the Lieutenant here on Memorial Day. He's won it, the All-American under Tyler Cotter. My friend Emma in the photo for second justifies half-brother, the Lieutenant. He looked done at the quarter pole, but he had the heart to win the All-American of 2018.
A big salute to the Lieutenant, who scored in the Grade 3 All-American Stakes on Memorial Day at Golden Gate, registering a career-high buyer of 100, making the Son of Street Sense your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby. Street Sense's four greatest stakes winners in 2018 ranked second among all active sires. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
After taking the first two legs of the Triple Crown, can Justify make history and pass the test of the champion? Tune in to find out. The Belmont Stakes, Saturday, June 9th, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern. Go to horseracingradio.net for a complete list of affiliates or to listen live.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They turn into the stretch together. Speed Franco down inside, cuts to corner, grabs the upper hand, opens up to lead by two. Riverboyne pops outside for a final try on the outside, and Mirage coming down the center of the course, and Arawak is finding a seam and slips through toward the inside with one furlong to go. Here's Mirage on the far outside to grab the lead. It's Mirage opening up late. A late run from Montaigne Domain in between horses, but they come down to the finish. It will be Mirage. Mirage wins it. Untamed Domain photos with Captivating Moon. Arawak was fourth.
Mirage took down the American Turf at Churchill Downs last month. I can't believe it's June already. But they took it down last month. And this Hall of Fame rider, John Velasquez, for trainer Todd Pletcher. Todd's got two in the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile tonight here at Penn National. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. I'm Anthony Stabile. Steve Grabowski is taking a powder as we make room for Racing Secretary here at Penn National, Jenny Tipa, and the Executive Director of the HPPA, Todd Mostaller. Todd?
Good morning.
Jenny, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
And I guess we should have a fourth microphone for the win, because it's I'm not going to complain too much about it, though, because it is absolutely beautiful here this morning. Jenny, I know you're going to share the wealth when I say this to you, but you guys in the racing office did a spectacular job. You know, when I print my PPs out and I got to get to 32 pages for a race card, you know you're in for a fun night. Hopefully you're in for a profitable night, but
yes,
you know that the racing office did their job and you guys did a sensational job tonight.
Yeah, they really did a great job. I have to give credit to Alan Feierstein, the stakes coordinator. He did a fantastic job of reaching out to all the horsemen and getting them to consider Penn National, and we really ended up with a great card.
Seven stakes, state bred races, as you would imagine when you're hanging up that kind of money, have come up very, very salty.
Yep.
Nice, big, full fields. Talk to me a little bit about how this night has evolved. You've been here, you've been in this capacity now.
I want to say this is third, fourth year, I think.
Yeah, because I think we've had you on every morning we've been here.
Yeah.
You've seen it go from three to four to seven stakes races now. So
right.
Just talk a little bit about how it's blossomed.
You know, we had the Penn Mile start 6 years ago, and just from a few races a night with our stake races and the effort of the racing department putting together this night, you know, took some time, but we ended up with, like you said, seven stake races, and I think that was a great move, you know, to really build what we have going on here. This year, so it was a great job by all.
Five of them on the turf, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have stakes races, they're going to be popular in general. But specifically on the turf, do you find it a little easier because you got the five on the grass?
Yeah, everyone is always really excited about the turf. That definitely helps. But I think regardless, I think we have a lot to offer. So you know, it's going to be a great night.
Dr. Jerry mentioned just four turf races so far.
Yep.
46 runners in four turf races. What do you guys got in the water up here?
Well, I think, we offered it a little earlier this year, just starting out on a few Saturdays since Derby Day. And I don't know. We do a great job maintaining the turf course. And, you know, so it's in great condition for everybody. And I don't know. It's a place for turf. That's all I can say.
You, like you said, third, fourth year now doing this, and each year it's gotten bigger and better.
Yep.
Getting a little more comfortable in those shoes now?
Yes, it's been...
look a lot more relaxed.
Right. I've been getting more accustomed to it and settling in and just building relationships with the horsemen, and it's, you know, become a good position for me, and I enjoy it.
And this is like the dream job for you, right? You're a local girl.
Right, exactly. So
right down the road?
Yep. From the bottom up, basically. So I feel very blessed to have these opportunities, and I want to do the best job I can.
Does that make you an Eagles fan or a Steelers fan?
I don't do football.
Okay. That's good, because if Mike Penn is listening, he probably would have got upset if you would have said an Eagles fan.
Okay.
Because we're black and gold for Steelers Nation here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. But, yeah, track seems to be in great shape as well. The turf course is in pristine condition. And you guys really do just a fantastic job. We got some food trucks coming by tonight. Is that happening like it did the last few years? Todd, do we know if anything's going?
Don't know about the food trucks.
All right. Working with folks like Jenny and Eric and everything got to make your job a lot easier up here, huh?
Oh, it is. We, you know, I think we have a good working relationship. We always don't see eye to eye, but I think we find some middle ground that works for both parties. Obviously, as a representative of the horsemen, I represent a lot of people, and everybody has different viewpoints, but we try to take the consensus and move in the direction that's in the best interest of racing overall.
I'll tell you what, you're doing a good job, because these guys and gals are supporting this product big time. Like, you know, we were joking before. You've run four turf races, 46 runners. That's 11.5 starters per race. There are racetracks that would kill for 9 on average. I mean, you guys are at 11.5 on your turf course.
Yeah, grass racing seems to be, trainers look at it as gold.
It's amazing, isn't it? That's where you used to put your slow horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's tough when you get bad weather, but when the cards hold together, it certainly benefits the entire program.
How have you guys done with the weather, Jenny? Because it's been, I mean, you guys are 180 miles from me in New York, 170 miles. Mm-hmm. It's been rain, go yep. away. I mean, have yep. you guys been getting hit with the brunt of that?
Yeah, we have had a lot of rain. The winter drug on a long time this season, and the rain and kind of went from winter to summer, too. So
yeah, there's no more spring.
No. The humidity. And
spring landed in my right eye this morning. My allergies are going crazy this morning.
Right, exactly. So, but, you know, we've had some rain showers this week, but they've been holding off for the most part. So I'm saying today there's not going to be any rain. So
as a golfer,
that's an edict.
As a golfer, I can tell you I'm vitamin D deficient at this point.
Yeah, sun. I mean, you know, we were here yesterday doing Express Bet Radio in the afternoon, and the sun came out at 4 o'clock. I said, hi, buddy. I haven't seen you in a while. I mean, yeah. We're at Belmont, and, you know, it's just been a heck of a springtime. Well, hopefully Mother Nature will put all of our eggs in the basket here tonight. Right. If it stays like this, I mean, this would be – it's just perfect racing weather. Whose idea was it for the 3:45 start?
That would be Eric Johnson. He put together a great program, and
he wouldn't take. We had him on about an hour ago. He wouldn't take all the credit. I figured I'd get the lowdown from you. You'd shoot straight yep. with me. Great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah, I think it'll work out well. And we have the 11 race card tonight, so it's going to be a fun day.
You're a local.
Yes.
I've been to dozens of racetracks in my life. The fans here are really like no other fans. Mm-hmm. What do you attribute that to?
I think, you know, with our kind of central location, we hopefully draw in, you know, from the surrounding areas a mix of people, and they really seem to enjoy watching racing, and everyone's been very nice, and so I don't know. It's just hopefully our atmosphere and everything draws a good kind of people, so I don't know.
People look forward to this night. I mean, every single year. I have a half a dozen people set to stop by tonight that just love coming out. They're here all the time, but, you know, they love the big night feel. And, you know, it's great when you're able to look. And you know, because I think in some of the bigger cities like in New York, and when you're out in California, you get a little spoiled. But you look at tonight, you look at just the Penn Mile. Joel Rosario, John Velasquez, Erato Ortiz Jr., Manny Franco, Jose Lascano. Those guys are probably going to be in the Hall. If they're not already in, they're probably all going to be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah, we have great riders, great horsemen, owners, trainers coming, and fans get really excited about it, being able to meet, you know, people that they don't see all the time.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great time.
Who do you like tonight?
I was thinking about it last night, and
because you knew I was going to bust your chops about it.
It's very up in the air, in my opinion. Just a great – all the races are just great as far as, you know, the different types of horses. And I've seen new names, you know, as far as trainers. And,
sure. Simon Callahan coming in from the West, supporting the program.
Yep. I don't know. Penn Mile.
You can make a case for any of them.
Yeah, I mean, Maraud, Therapist, you know, those are kind of the ones I like. But, you know, really it's anybody's game.
Well, you don't have to wait them, huh?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because
that would be a heck of a race to have to make a handicap. It would be.
Yeah.
Absolutely would be.
So.
But you guys did a really fantastic job.
I appreciate that.
Great job. Todd, what's new on your end?
What's new? I thought we were handicapping
You got one. Listen, my ears are open, man. I am like most handicappers, I have a very big opinion. My biggest opinion is not for a week. I love Hofburg and the Belmont Stakes. This card was bananas to handicap for me. We did the weekend stakes preview last night. My pick four ticket's going to be about my paycheck this week. So it's a sensational card. You got what you want to lay one on me here.
Sure, yeah.
You've been looking at that program pretty intensely.
Well, I really didn't realize what kind of card we had. You know, I get caught up in preparing for this day. And I pulled up the PPs last night and again this morning, and it's just an exceptional. As a horseman, really appreciate good horse flesh. I think we have some horses coming in that could ascend to the very, very top of the turf division, as well as some of the undercard races. There's just some horses that are fantastic and could be any kind long term. In the Penn Mile, I heard you guys discussing Hawkish. I can tell you that I've watched his maiden win numerous times, and I still don't think he can win it. I mean, he at the quarter pole, he was nowhere to be found, ran green down the lane, still got up. Jimmy Toner, I think it's unusual for him to take a shot at a grade three right after that. He must really believe in this horse. Then he comes back and gives him an easier spot in an allowance race, and he does it the right way. I think with the additional seasoning and the right trip, obviously turf is always about the trip, but I think the horse is the most talented horse in the field. Therapist, I also is very talented, but I'm going to let odds dictate where I go there. And at 5-1, if I can get that on Hawkish, I'll be there all day.
Don't get too excited about that 5-1.
Well, yeah, I looked at that's the one thing that made an impression on me. I looked at our morning lines here, and there's a number of horses at the morning line. Let's just put it this way: if they go off at the morning line, I'll go home broke.
Or a lot of money in your pocket.
Yeah, if they don't win. Another horse that in the Penn Oaks, I had the pleasure of seeing the way I am at Gulfstream down there when she won.
She was tremendous there this winter.
When she won the Swedish Chant. I think she's a smallish type filly, but a powerhouse looking filly. And I think if she sits the right trip, she just has the kick that a lot of these horses don't have. She just has an extreme turn of foot, motion off the layoff, no concerns whatsoever. And the horse that she lost to at Keeneland over a yielding turf's not too bad with Rushing Fall.
No, she's not.
We were hoping to see her here, but, I mean, I hate to go at 2-1, but the way I am, I think maybe a standout unless Jason Service's horse jumps up. But at the same time, there are a couple of entries, so I don't think we're going to get 2-1 there either.
Jenny, you think you could fill 100 turf sprints a week? Is it amazing? Is it absolutely the Penn Ladies Dash, the first year at 12, Morticia coming in?
Yep.
Is she staying in, by the way? Do you know? Have you heard anything from?
She came in last night.
Well, she's staying in then.
Yeah, she's here.
All right. That's great.
Yep.
Fantastic. All right, before we let you guys go, and nobody gets away without this morning, justify your A&A. You can say nay.
I say if he gets it, it's going to be like one hell of a race. Yeah.
I'm a nay. It's interesting you talk Hofberg. My sources at Belmont tell me he's training outstanding for Belmont up there. I don't know who at this point. I'm going to see how the field draws. I would have been a little more obviously, betting against Justify is going to be the way to make money because he's going to be an extreme underlay. But when he worked in 46 and change, I'm a firm believer that horses get too sharp. After the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, to come back and to work in 46 and 2, I'd prefer he worked in 50, to be honest with you.
He's going to breeze them again Monday.
Yeah, those horses, they just get too sharp. And that mile and a half, it's they call it the test of champions for a reason. This horse has done an awful lot in a short period of time, and they're not machines.
You know what Woody Stevens said, too, right? Those buildings get a lot bigger on the other side of the river.
Well, anytime you cross the Hudson, I've had the pleasure of having some horses that can compete up there, and it's a lot of respect. Anytime you cross the Hudson, you better have the goods.
Well, guys, thanks for some time this morning. Great job again, as always.
Thanks for having me.
We look forward to seeing you next year.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Jenny Tipa and Todd Mostaller. From Penn, the racing secretary and the executive director of the HPBA, like all of our guests, they will receive some Embrace the Race apparel. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. One more break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this June 2nd edition of the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a B-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake B-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired four millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include four-time graded stakes winner Miss Sky Warrior, three-time graded stakes winner Sharp Samurai, multiple stakes winner Bell Harbor, and Dubai Group 3 winner Shamal Nibras. Last year, his two-year-old sold up to $540,000, while his yearlings fetched up to a whopping $575,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
It is all Monoboy girls to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Performance.
Midnight Bizu is starting the far outside. It's Wonder Gadot, and on the inside, Monoboy Girl. It's down to these two, and it's going to be Monoboy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a two-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top five third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Wrapping things up on a sensational Saturday morning, live from Penn National. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93, live coverage of the Grade 2 $500,000 dollar Penn Mile, live from Penn National. Steve and I will be on the call. Ladies Penn Dash for the first time. Penn Ladies Dash, I should say. Penn Oaks, Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, and that way to Penn Mile. Fun morning, huh?
A lot of fun. Really glad I was included this time. It was a lot of experience, and just a beautiful venue in which to experience it.
And now a few people even know you.
Not many. I prefer it that way, though. That's a funny thing. You think you're insulting me? You know,
I don't think it's
a compliment. Yeah. I mean, I can walk through the track and I don't have to worry about people saying, "Hey, Big A, hey, Beast, what are you today? Who do you like? Set up this for me. I need that for me." Hey, nice to go to the track and just gamble.
Be able to do some gambling today.
That's right.
Great card here tonight. 32 pages when I printed it out last night.
Was that front and back, or was that just one side?
No, be a big baby.
Hey, Craig was very appreciative of that.
He was.
Two Hershey bars out of it.
Well, that's all you were worried about. You leveraged the PPs for a Hershey bar. Who's better than you?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's better than you?
Only thing it would have been better is if the kids would have made it out here. They would have had a beautiful time.
Yeah. Still weird to me to see horses still training.
I know, it's so late,
2 minutes to 10. So weird. But yeah, you know, that's 3:45 post again if you're coming out today. We are positioned right on the finish line. Not that you're going to miss me and Steve.
No fuchsia today for you, though.
No, I mean, no magenta.
More of a blender.
No magenta for me. Today we'll be in the black and gold of the Horse Racing Radio Network. Your exclusive home for Belmont Stakes 150. Of course, we have that coverage for you next Saturday. Real quick, I asked everybody else, Triple Crown winner next week?
Hofburg. So, no, the answer is no.
You can't win the Triple Crown. I hope you're right. All right. A fantastic job. Thanks to all of our guests this morning, John Service, Justin Nicholson, Eric Johnston, Dr. Jerry Pack, Jenny Keepa, and Todd Mostoller, stopping by on the phone. Until tonight at 6, for Steve Grabowski, Lee Delapina, I'm the Beast. Talk to you tonight. I hope you win all your photo finishes. 6.